All right, God is great. Let's turn to the scripture. We live by the word of God. We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That means that in the Bible there's more than just one word. If we live by every word, that means there's more than one. So if we live by more than one, for example, let's say the left hand of God was the law of God. That's one word. How many know that everybody in the world is under the law of God? Everybody. Everybody. Atheists are under it. Witchcraft people, Satanists, they're all under the word of God because it's written on the heart of every man. God wrote it with his own finger. So before you were born, God wrote that upon your heart. And so everybody knows right from wrong. The problem is, it's never enough to get you beyond guilt. The problem with keeping the law is you can't. Nobody ever has, except Jesus. He's the only one that ever kept it, and he only kept it for you. That's the right hand of God. That's the gospel. That's the good news. So you have the law, then you have the gospel. This is for every man. This is just for some. Not everybody believes God is good. We believe that God is good. We believe that God cannot do evil. He does not hate any sinner. Did you know that? He hates sin, but he does not hate people who sin. Why? Because we all have sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So the left hand is not the full knowledge of God. That's just one word. The right hand is the rest of the story. This is knowledge, eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But you cannot figure it out because you don't even know about the right hand. No natural man has enough brain, has enough goodness, has enough strength to do anything because he doesn't even know what's good and bad. That's why God said it's forbidden. Don't eat of that tree. But the natural man relies upon his reason. And all religions are built upon then natural capacity to have a will to do good. You don't. I mean, know that no man ever did good. Nobody. No natural man, without faith you can't please God, no natural man ever did good. Well, what about the born again man? What about regenerated, filled with the Spirit? No. Even that. Did you know that you need the Holy Spirit who's in you to will and to do of his good pleasure? I mean, what's he doing? What does he do? He's in you to will, to even want to. Because even though you're born again, on the right hand, you still need more. You would be a foolish virgin who said, we don't need the oil. It's enough just to be born again. So God is not only separating the world from the church, but he's also separating the church from the church. He's not only separating us from Israel under the law, left hand. Israel never got beyond the law. Did you know that? The natural man has the law written on the heart, and the law revealed to Moses was just simply the same law, because it's the same God. Who told you not to do wrong, but always do right? I mean, no one ever did that. Even though it's written on every man's heart, every man has sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Everybody here is equally a sinner. Well, let's say you sinned less than someone else. Not possible. Not possible. Sorry. Everybody. God has consigned everybody to guilt. Why? Because you have to be perfect in order to please God. And nobody is. Nobody. Not here. Not even here just because you're born again. The only way to become perfect is to be died. To die. Okay? So when the Holy Spirit comes, it's no longer, I've been crucified. Only the crucified could do a good work because they're crucified. Because it's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith, not by my own strength, not by my own wisdom. Now, even if I'm born again, that doesn't help. Born again is only beginning. Jesus said, you want to be my disciple? You must continue, not just begin. Not just be born again, justified. You must also then be sanctified. Who's that stranger? Hey. haven't seen you. Great. It's been a week or more. A couple of weeks. Amen. Praise God. So the full knowledge of God is not known to any natural man. And even under the law, the Jewish people did not have the full knowledge of God. So how could they do good work when they don't even know what good and evil is? And how could you, just because you're a Christian and you're born again, so you're no longer part of the world, you're no longer part of Israel, you're not under the law, you're under grace. But even so, grace isn't just mercy. After all, if you're born again, you just have mercy. You still have your sins. How many know that born again people still sin? Even though they're born again. Even though they believe Jesus died for them, that doesn't mean they died for him. And you can't even will that. That's why the Holy Spirit's in you to will. You can't even will to be good. Well, I'm a Christian. I think I'll be good. It doesn't work that way. Jesus is good. Did you know that God is good? And only God is good? And if only God is good, then no one else is good but God. And if no one else is good but God, then it's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave himself for me. So it's really Christ in me. That's the hope of glory, not me. I'm just the branch. He's the vine. The juice comes from the root through the vine into the branch to produce the fruit. So it's not my fruit. How many know that you don't have good works? Yes, you have good works, but they're good works only in the sense that they came out of you because Christ was in you. Jesus once was asked, good teacher, and he said, why do you call me good? None is good but God. Not even me. I'm here as a servant. I'm here not to do my will, say my words, do my deeds. I'm here to do the will of the Father. So he's a trustee, he's a steward, he's a servant, he's a slave. So someone who's a Christian is actually not themselves any longer themselves, but they're the new self, which is Christ in me, which means Christ is the key. I can do all things through Christ, but I can't do all things. I can only do all things through Christ, meaning Christ does all things. In me, through me, for me, so that men may see my good works and glorify not me. They'll glorify my Father. Did you know that your good works that you do, actually you didn't do? Jesus said, the good works that I do, I don't do them. The Father who dwelleth in me doeth the works. So doing good works is actually the capacity or the ability to show forth the love of God, to actually walk by the Spirit, to actually live in love. But that's not by the left hand, and that's not by the right hand just because you're born again. You actually have to be filled, and then you have to be led. Now, to be filled means to be emptied. How many know if you're filled with something, here's a glass, fill it up with something, and then you want to fill it, you'd have to empty out what was in there in order to fill it. It could be partly filled, but if it's all the way filled, if you're filled with the Spirit, you have to be emptied of yourself. So when Christ came down, the Greek word is kenosis. When he came down, he had to empty himself in order to be filled with the Lord. Now, he was the Son of God, so he didn't really need to do that, but yes, he did, because he took on the form of man, he was Son of God, stayed Son of God, but then he also became Son of Man, so he could die for you, because you had the guilt, because under this hand, you cannot please God. Without faith, you cannot please God. But with faith, you still don't produce works. How many know there's such a thing as a dead faith? That is, you profess to be a Christian, but actually you don't produce the works. Why? Because you didn't die. You didn't suffer. You didn't go through chastening, discipleship. If you continue in my word, then you'll know the truth. You can't just be a believer, but you must continue. Believing is starting. So what God is doing is he's separating now the bride from the harlot, the wheat from the chaff, the wise from the foolish. He's making a division not between the world and the church, not even between the church and Judaism, but he's making a division between the church and the church. He's dividing the wheat from the kernel. He's dividing the wheat from the chaff. He's doing everything to separate us out so that we're holy, not just in words, not just in talk or profession, not just in will even, but to actually do the will of God. How? By being dead. It's no longer I. Christ liveth in me. I am crucified with Christ. That's why it's no longer I. A trustee never says his own words, never does his own deeds. never wills his own will. A trustee cometh in the name of the Lord. That's why the Jews killed him. And he said, they will recognize me someday and they'll say, Baruch Abai, B'Shem Adonai, which is Hebrew for, blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. In other words, Jesus, we killed him because we didn't know he came in the name of the Lord. We thought he was coming in his own name. When he judged the harlot, he didn't judge by his own judgment. He judged by God's judgment. As a Christian, as a believer, the issue is not how good you are, it's how good God is. You aren't good. Could I hear an amen?
Amen.
Yes, of course, you're not good. And there has never been anybody that has ever been good. Only God is good. And none is good but God. Therefore, you are not good and cannot be good except you're dead. Now, if you could be crucified with Christ, then be no longer you, but Christ in you. Now, this teaching, I'm not developing it, I'm just stating it. This teaching of God dividing his church from his church, that is, those that are lukewarm from those that are hot, the church should never produce lukewarm Christians. It should only be producing hot. Every man mature in Christ. I mean, no, every man mature in Christ means every man mature in Christ. That would mean I'd have to be bogged down right here on the second row. Because there are some people that are not mature. Right? How many know that God will forgive any sinner?
Yes.
Of any sin.
Yes.
But he'll also forgive those who have not gotten very far. And God doesn't put the weight on those that haven't gotten very far. They're just lukewarm. He doesn't put the weight against them. He puts the weight on himself. It's God who swore. The good work I began in you I will surely complete. It's God that said that. It isn't you. You didn't agree with that. Oh, yeah, I'll help you out. No, you don't help him out. You just die. You don't need to help him out. How many know that you can't? How many have tried to help him out? You can't help him out. No matter how you try to be perfect, you cannot. Only God is perfect. And so only God can do what God wants. You can't even do what God wants. You're not even capable. Even when you're not born again, unregenerated, and even after you're regenerated, if you don't then receive the Holy Spirit, which is why Jesus died for you on the cross, so you could believe, now your sins are still there. Your sins are still there. Your sins are still there. How many know that saints sin? I mean saints. A saint can still sin. How many are aware of that? I mean, not you, but I mean the people next to you. There are saints that actually still sin. That's not bothersome to God. God does not expect you to not sin. Even though he said it under the left hand. But under the right hand, it's a promise. Under the left hand, it's a command. Under the right hand, it's a promise. Under the left hand, it's a command. So, do you really know God when you're a pagan? No. But if you're Jewish, still not. You only know the law. You only know partly God. God is hidden. He is Deus, Latin, absconditus. What does that mean? It means God is obscure, hidden, behind a cloud. You cannot know him fully without being born again. But even after you're born again, you still must grow in the knowledge. You still have to be matured. So what God is doing is separating all of this. Harlot, chaff, justified only, soulish, Manasseh, foolish virgins, lukewarm, security, Leah, little children, and so on. All of those things God wants to separate away. And when he comes back, he's coming back for a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. Now, a bride is not just you personally. It's us corporately. I mean, he's coming back for whole congregations of bridally pure people who are all of these things, bridal, wheat, pure, sanctified, spiritual, Ephraim, wise virgins, hot, certain, Rachel, mature, etc. So what God is coming back for is perfect. Why? Because that's the only way you can get to heaven. The only way you can get to heaven is to be perfect, and the only way you can be perfect is if it was God in you doing it. That's why the Holy Spirit's in you to will and to do. That's why it's not extra credit to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not extra credit. Like, you know, if you really wanted to be really, really good, I'll try that. It doesn't work. God doesn't want any works out of you. God is not interested in any of your works. I was telling you right now, when men see your good works, they won't thank you. Because he didn't do them. Jesus didn't do them either. Jesus didn't do any good works. Jesus never did a good work and said, I did that one. He just said, Father, send me on the mission. I'll be your trustee. I'll say your words. I'll do your deeds. Because my will is actually to submit my will to you. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You see, he was a perfect trustee because he said the Father that dwells in him does the work, so it's who dwells in you, not you. Even Jesus didn't claim to do a good work. When he judged by the Father. When he acted by the Father. Whatever the Father doeth, I doeth. Whatever the Father saith, I saith. Whatever the Father willeth, I willeth. I always please him. What does that mean? That means Jesus didn't do his own will as Son of God. He did the Father's will as Son of Man. So that the Father could actually tell him, I want you to die for them. So because he died for you, that means you live. You don't have a life apart from him. You used to be apart from him. Under the left hand, we're always apart from him, trying to become him. I am what I am, but I want to be what I ought to be. But I'm never what I ought to be. I'm only what I am. So this is vanity. He who labors, labors in vain. You build something, and it's for nothing. Well, I'm trying to be nice. Really? How neat of you. How wondrous. How awesome. How many know that being good and nice and great is evil? Because it wasn't God that did it. Unless your deeds are wrought in God, you won't come into the light. So the full knowledge of God is from the right hand. This is only part of it. We live by every word. This is the first word. This is the second, third, fourth, fifth, and so on. This word goes on eternally. Everything here is temporal, and then it perishes. Everything here is eternal, and it lives forever. So what God is doing is separating out that which is eternal, which is pure, perfect, which is acceptable to him, good, acceptable, perfect will of God. That only God can do. For you, then in you, then through you. In every way, God gets all the glory. So you never get the glory. How many know you'll never get the glory? Amen. Now, you will get it, but not under the law. Not even under Christian works. You don't go to heaven because of Christian works. You go to heaven just because of faith in Jesus. But it's all the reliance on Jesus. And even after you're a Christian, it's still faith active in love. So what God is looking for is lovers. And when we love, that means we're no longer us. That's why the Bible says, die daily. That's why the Bible says, he wants you to be dead to this world and alive unto God. So, I've been crucified with Christ. I've been crucified with Christ. Isn't that exciting? What that means is I, the pastor, as your pastor, because I don't do my own words and I don't say my own deeds and I don't do anything, I just let him tell me what to say and what to do. Because of that, the first thing as a new believer is to make sure you're dead. So, murder is what I'm all about. Murder what? Not murdering you, but murdering your flesh. That is your self-confidence. Your confidence in your ability to know something, want something, do something. You don't know anything. You don't want anything. You can't do anything apart from him. You can do nothing. But in him, then you can do all things. So obviously the operative word there is him. Apart from him, in him. But obviously it's the him. It's not me repenting. That's not a work of mine. It's not me. How many know that's a work of God? That's a gift of God. If God had not spoken that, you could never have gotten to that, certainly from the left hand, but not even from the right hand. This is why God wants us to grow in the knowledge of him. Why? Because wisdom is the tree of life, not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You can know all you want to know, but you still won't know anything. All your knowledge is in vain. That's why God says the wisdom of God is greater than the foolishness of man. So man's wisdom is nothing but foolishness. Why? Because you still don't even know God. He was the one that created you. He's the one that redeems you. He's the one that sanctifies you. He's the one that glorifies you. He is the one that does it all. He is my all in all, my beloved. Beholding him, we are changed. You want to change? Don't. If you want to change, don't. Because the minute you start changing or feeling bad or feeling good or feeling anything, you've already missed it. Beholding him who changeth not, you are changed. Totally passive on your part. Totally passive, nothing active. Now, I know that people don't like my message. They hate that message because they like to do a little bit of part and get a little proud for, you know, I was humble. Are you proud of being humble? Yes, yes, I am. I'm proud that I was humble. I was very humble yesterday. I was humble this morning. No, God does not want you to humble yourself. I know it says humble yourself, but what it really is, it's a promise by God, not an achievement by you. I'm sorry if you don't have that wisdom, is to realize, try as you may, you cannot humble yourself. You can even kill yourself, it still won't help. Because you didn't do it in faith. God didn't tell you to kill yourself. So you cannot in any way improve yourself. How many know there's no improvement?
No.
Whatever happens, it's all God. And to God be the glory. And then you know what he'll do with his glory? Give it to you. But he'll give it to you. He doesn't want you to earn it. He wants to give it to you. That you don't deserve it. That is God. And you know there's no religion in the world like ours. No one would even make up such a silly religion that a holy God would love sinners who are unholy, rebellious against God, and did not do what he said to do. And did what he said not to do. Don't eat of that tree. You did. Did you know that every man born of the flesh in this world eats of the tree? And many Christians still eat of the tree. Now, I'm just telling you something, is that God is making a separation today between the bridal church, the pure, the wise. The foolish version said we don't need the Holy Spirit. We don't need the oil. We don't need to have anything more than what's in our lamp. But what was in their lamp was only enough to go a few hours. What if Jesus tarried? What if he delayed? What if he took a little time? Now, why am I telling you all this? I mean, you already know all this because you've heard it a million times. It's written in the Bible. Because I believe the time is short. I'm not just a pastor. I'm also a prophet. And I'm telling you, the time is very short. I don't know exactly when. Nobody knows the day and the hour. I do know this. We don't have a lot of time. And it's not because of Obama. It's just simply we don't have a lot of time. What he's saying is, I'm coming back. Now, he won't come if somebody's not ready. He'll wait for you to be ready. But he's only coming for a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So, that's his work. The good work I began. He didn't say the good work you began. The good work I began in you. So, he's the one working in you. You're the house, he's the builder. God the Father is building you, the house, upon the rock, Jesus. So, he's the wise man that builds his house. We're the house. Did you know that you are the temple of the living God? Now, don't worry about your brain. Your brain won't get a hold of all this, but it's the Bible. The Bible tells us that we are to be building as though we did it. We are to be building ourselves into a holy temple, but the truth is you can't. Only God can and already has. Did you know that you're already seated with Christ in heavenly places? You don't look that way. Your brain hasn't grasped that it's already over. Did you know that you are the light of the world? You're not becoming the light. You are the light. But woe unto you if your light be dim. I mean, what can people see by a three water? You know, they're not able to see very much. But what God wants is for you to be as bright as the sun. Why? Because he wants Christ to be revealed in you. He doesn't want you to be revealed in you. He wants to see Christ. He's a little brighter than you. Leah was dim-eyed. The church today is Leah, dim-eyed. The church today is Hagar, still under laws, still under pressure, still under trying to behave. I mean, you cannot behave. The only thing you can do is be dead. When you see how beautiful he is, you'll be dead. When you see how glorious he is, you won't work up something. You see, the only way you'll make it is to realize, God, I can't do a thing. Apart from you, I can do nothing. No thing. I can't do anything you want. I can do what I want. How many know that people are selfish? Some Christians I know are still selfish. Do you know any Christians like that? They're sitting next to you. The Christians also are still self-oriented. You can tell that they're not always praising God, always thanking God, always rejoicing in God, always happy all the time. That's how you can tell. Christians could be, not in the world to come, in this world you should have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. You should have all of those fruits of the Spirit operating in your life, but you didn't do them. You didn't even will them. Now, he won't force you. He won't force you. So you would have to not resist him, but it's not really a work. It's just simply, that's who you are. Did you know he made you a new creation? The old has passed away, the new has come. The old has passed away, the old has passed away. If the old has passed away and the new has come, then it's come. So I'm not trying to become what I am. I am what I am, according to God. Now that takes faith, because you can't see it. Did you know that you cannot see that I'm perfect already? It is not possible for you to see that I'm already perfect. I see it. But I see it by faith in his word. Because he said it, I believe it. That's it. That is perfect knowledge. You can have that kind of perfect knowledge because it's written in this book. This is the book of wisdom, not just knowledge. Knowledge, left hand. Wisdom, right hand. Wisdom is to know everything about God you need to know in order to be justified, sanctified, glorified. In order to be that spotless bride without wrinkle or any such thing, it isn't a matter of our work. It's a matter of our faith that he then maketh to work. Faith active in love. Faith that's dead won't make any works. That's why this list over here are people that have been born again. They're actually virgin. But they are foolish virgins. They are lukewarm. What we're producing in our church today is people who do not make a change or even believe there is one to be made. Or they're trying real hard and it's not worth making it. How many know that you cannot make it without God? You're not able to do it. He isn't asking you to do something. Why would God ask you to do something? He's the lead ox. You're just simply yoked to him, and you're pulling as though you were pulling, but you're actually not. The lead ox is doing all the pulling. Are you aware of that? It's like the branch saying, I produced the fruit. No, it didn't. Tear the branch off, and it can't produce any fruit. Graft the branch back on, and it can produce all the fruit in the world, because all the juice and the power and the joy and the peace and everything comes from Jesus. He's our life. He's our joy. He's our peace. He's our everything. He's our all in all. Now, again, the only reason I'm telling you that is because I believe God is about to return soon. That means in our lifetime, not somewhere else. Behold, the kingdom of God at hand. It's at hand. Now, God is about to return and take his bride. How many have made yourself ready? The bride hath made herself ready. How many have made yourself ready? That's what you have to be, is a spotless bride. Well, Jesus then is now in the heavenlies, already prepared that bride, and he is to come back now and find those that are by faith, and therefore, in fact, in truth, already there. If you knew who you were, you would not sin. But because you believe you're still a liar, you still lie. But if you believed you weren't a liar, but you were only a truth teller, you would tell the truth. The problem today in the church is the pastors. The pastors have not taught the people who they are in Christ or who Christ is in them. That marriage supper is waiting then for those who are truly ready, because he made us ready. And he is at work. He's at work working through us through the indwelling Holy Spirit. That's why many people just put that off. Don't put that off. Don't just say, well, you know, I'm born again. It's good enough. I believe in Jesus. It's good enough. No, it isn't. It's not. It's only the beginning. This group over here, I say most of these people are definitely born again. I don't have any problem that they're born again. Maybe they aren't. Maybe they are. But this is all he wants. He isn't wanting one of these that's halfway there or one-fourth of the way or three-eighths of the way. He wants this, a bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. So he's looking for every man mature in Christ. Every man mature means every man mature. That would mean every man mature. How many know that most churches don't have everybody mature? I know in this church we have them all on this side and very few on that side. But every man mature, that would be quite a work. The pastor would have to be, he would have to be a Christian too. How many know that many pastors are not? Because if you're not teaching the whole truth and nothing but the truth, you're not really causing the people then to thrive and to be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness, and gentleness, and faithfulness, and so on. You have to get all those fruits coming out so that the world may see your good works. See them, see them, see them. And they don't have faith eyes. They just have regular eyes. And give glory to the Father. They'll marvel when they see Christians looking like Christians. If they ever saw a Christian who wasn't doing all the things that the world was doing, but was actually doing things that heaven was up to, they would know, that was God. And they would give the Father the glory. The Father is the one that lives through His Son. The Father lives through the Son. So that's why Jesus said, I always do what pleases my Father. So He was the example of what we are, not what we ought to be. Now I know to you it looks like you haven't yet got there, but in heaven it's already done. I mean, know that in heaven it's already done. And if you keep your eyes on heaven, heavenly-minded rather than earth-minded, stop looking at yourself looking at yourself, or looking at yourself looking at others. Look at Jesus. He's already done. And by the way, He's not here. He's not here. He's up there. But actually, He's here. Because even though He's up there, He's actually here because it's spiritual. So even though He's there, that's only so Satan can't touch Him, by the way. Your treasure is in heaven. Did you know that your life is hid with God in Christ? Your life is not here. Your life is there. Your life is in Him. He's your righteousness. He's your joy. He's your peace. He's your everything. So therefore, you don't have to achieve it. You don't have to work at it, left hand, nor even just by being born again, believing in it. He wants you actually not just to believe in it, but actually to do it. He's looking for those that will not just believe, but actually do the will of the Lord, do the works of the Lord. How do you do that? By the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why He gave you the Holy Spirit. You cannot do the works of God without the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I know somebody who isn't baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they do a lot of nice things. Okay, you deal with the word yourself. I'm just telling you, not possible. God is not going to accept halfway works, three-quarters of the way works, 99.999 works. He wants perfect works. So, you may not like God's program that He only wants the perfect to come to heaven. But God is perfect, and He said, I want everyone to be exactly like Me. I want you to be holy as I'm holy. Now, that's not only said to Israel, it was also said to the New Testament Christians. I want you to be as holy as I'm holy. I want you to be as perfect as I'm perfect. If He's the measure of what perfect looks like, we have a little ways to go. Unless you're already there. By faith, and then by sanctification, and then by glorification, then you are already there. So it's a matter of your faith being active and not dead. This group over here is dead. Now, why did I draw this candelabra? Because the Jewish people are going through the seventh furnace shortly. They've been through six. And I wrote down the first six. So here are the six. Babylon, Persia, Greece, Rome, 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 Rome. Now, the six are three of those Romes. There's only one left, the seventh Rome. Now, I called it, I didn't write it up there, but it's the New World Order. And it's in our day, and it's right now. The Jewish people are about to go through Jacob's trouble, the purifying of the sons of Levi, the time of the Gentiles will be at an end, and so on. They will trample the courts for 42 months. So we know the same time that Jacob is being troubled is 3.5 years, 42 months, 1,260 days. But we also will be coming to an end as Gentiles. And the Gentiles will finish up what they're going to do, which is to persecute Israel. And that's the best thing ever happened to Israel because she will be purified. And those that are in the flesh, those that are in the flesh will not make it. But those that are in the spirit or who have pierce Jesus will suddenly say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed be He that cometh in the name of the Lord. They will turn to Yeshua. The problem today, why they can't, is because the church isn't separated. If you only have this group here, you're under a bushel basket. But if you come out from the bushel basket and put your lamp on a stick, on a high and raised up platform, on this candelabra, then all the world can see your good works and give glory to the Father in heaven. That will make the Jews jealous. The Jews will then purify. They will be restored. We aren't going to be restored. We're already what we are. They will be restored to what they were intended to be by God and what they are in faith already. So that's why Jacob made the promise to them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Now, this sevenfold furnace is what we do to make gold or silver pure. You want to have pure silver, you have to send it through the furnace seven times, according to the scripture. So in other words, perfectly until it's perfect. Perfectly until it's pure. If you do it six times, it won't work. You have to go through yourself. I mean, your faith has to also be refined as gold in a fire. You have to yourself go through seven afflictions. How many have already gone through 15 of them? No, you have not. Because you don't get to decide which one's the furnace. God does. And what he's going to do in that is kill off your flesh, kill off your flesh, kill off your flesh, kill off your flesh, until you finally get used to the idea that apart from him, you're just flesh. But in him, he only wants spirit, because he's a spiritual God. How many know that you are a spirit with a soul in a body? And so this body will pass away, get a new body, but you'll also get a new soul. When the trumpet sounds, you will get a brand new soul. You cannot kill your old soul. You can kill your body, but it won't kill the soul. You cannot do that. The only way you can make a new soul is for God to give you a new heart, then a new soul, then a new body. And he will do that, and he will do that, and he will do that. You cannot do it. So what God has promised you is don't work. Come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Don't work. Rest. There's nothing to do. It's all been done. Jesus did it 2,000 years ago. In fact, he did it before the foundation of the world. Do you know that all the good works you could ever do, because every day God's already laid out all your good works that you are to do, that you are to walk in now. There's no point in walking in your good works later when you get to heaven. The good works are for now. Because men don't see your good works in heaven because they don't go to heaven. So the only way that your good works were drawn up before the foundation of the world is so that men could see your good works and they would give glory to the Father and they would repent and then believe and then obey. So the best has been saved to the last. Aren't you excited that you live it this day? And I'm not just preaching. I'm not just teaching. I'm prophesying to you. God is about this year, now. We've only got a month left now. This year, to do what I just said. Divide his church from his church. That is, divide those. Why? Does God want to destroy all these people? No, not at all. He actually wants to save them and sanctify them and purify them by moving this group out from the bushel. What good does it do to have a light and hide it under a bushel? So as long as we're with this group in our churches, the church has to be divided from the church so that the light is out here so that everyone in the house, the world, the Jewish people, and the false church, that is the church that decided only to be born again but not spirit-filled. Now, a lot of churches today resist the spirit filling, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and especially the fire. You shall be baptized with the Spirit and with fire. What does fire do? Fire not only destroys the flesh, burns up everything that's burnable, but it also purifies the spirit. So the fire is the best thing you can have. How many are excited and praying for God, burn in me? Burn all the dross out of me. I want every wicked way in me to be gone. How many are praying that way fervently? God, more. Turn it up. Turn the heat up. I need more troubles, more problems, more difficulties. Chasing me sore. How many are joyful about that? Yahoo! God has given me another problem. Count it all joy when you face various trials, various troubles, various temptations. How many know that's exciting? And now, thank God, you have a new president. Which is actually the other president that we had already. And he's new and improved because he'll even go turn up the fire some more. You thought you had any money left, or you thought there was a constitution, or whatever it is you hoped in, it's gone. He will do his best. Now, God has a sense of humor. Knowing that some of you are still haven't caught on, God is going to take his time, so you don't have to worry. You'll have plenty of time to get ready. There's no weight on you. Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I'm gentle, lowly of heart. My yoke, easy. He's doing all the pulling. My burden, it's light. Why? Because it's not even on you. It's on him. You see, a trustee takes all the burden, gives the blessing to the wife. How many know the wife always gets all the blessing? The husband always takes all the burden. That's a real man. A real man would give the wife all the blessing, even if she doesn't deserve it. Or especially when she doesn't deserve it. How many know that's unconditional love? That's not the kind of love that people have. But when the wife does wrong, That is the time for the husband not to judge her, criticize her, but the time to die for her, lay down his life for her, bless her. You see, that's a perfect husband. That's what God came to show us, not so we'd do it, but so we'd realize that's what he's doing in us and through us to glorify himself. So God wants men to be dead. How many men do we have here? Okay, you're all to be dead. Now, the dead part is good, because until you die, you can't resurrect. How many know that resurrection is only after death? So how can I be resurrected with him unless I'm dead with him first? So when Christ died, you died. When he was buried, you were buried. When he rose, you rose. When he ascended, you ascended. When he reigns, he reigns. How many know you're reigning right now? Now, you have to get your head on things that are above and not on things that are below. But most Christians are divided. That's why God has to divide those that are dividing. So he'll push this off to give them hope. If he didn't push them off, they wouldn't see the light. You have to put this lampstand high so that people can see the difference between man and God, between good news and bad news, between left hand and right hand, between pure and impure, between clean and unclean, and so on. So God is doing all those things for your sake. He doesn't want anyone to do anything. You don't have to help him. How many know that the parent does it all? You don't have to help him. You don't have to understand it. You don't have to get a hold of it. Let him, he's more eager to reveal himself to you than you are to understand his revelation and get a hold of and accept. How many know there's a lot of resistance in you when you hear the word of God? It's a simple word. When you hear the word of God, be perfect as I am perfect. That's not a promise. That's not a law. That's a promise. You shall be perfect as I am perfect. That's actually a promise. It's not, you shall be perfect as I'm perfect. It's not a law. It's a promise. You shall be perfect because I am perfect. Do you hear the difference? The same words, but you put the inflection differently. And God wrote it deliberately ambiguous like that, so you'd have to seek him to find out what it was and get the Holy Spirit to interpret the correct interpretation. So the world scoffs at that which they don't understand. But we have perfect understanding of the mystery of iniquity, left hand, and the mystery of righteousness, right hand. Because you've been given the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. You see, the truth always sets you free. I once lived in darkness, total, and now I live in the light. Why? The light's better. Did you know that light is stronger than darkness? Darkness has no permanence. Darkness will not last forever. Light, forever and ever and ever. That's why Jesus said, I'm the light. He said, I'm the light that enlightens every man that comes into the world. So the only way that every man could be enlightened is not to be enlightened, but is to be enlightened by the Lord. Only the Lord can give light. His light is full. The world's light is partial, just enough to make you feel guilty and confused. That's why the world of SMU, TCU, NEU, is to confuse people. It actually is not lux et veritas, light and truth. It's actually confusion. The more you learn in science, the more you learn in anything, whatever it is, the more confused you become. The more questions you have, not the more answers you receive. So when you try to get more knowledge, you get more sorrow. The greatest geniuses out there are actually very humble, because they know there's more questions than there are answers. They know that they haven't even plumbed, they haven't even begun to understand even the eye or the hair or the smallest molecule or the cell. They know nothing, and they cannot know anything. Now, we're not criticizing. We're just simply stating a truth that by reason and strength of man, you can do nothing. Only God can do. I would say there's no other doer in the whole universe except God. God is the only actor. He is the only one. We are reactors. And God wants you to stop acting. That's a sin. Doesn't want you to try to figure out good and evil. Go to your father. Seek your father. Go to your father. Seek your father. If a person over here, and it's never happened, sought God, After he sinned, instead of sowing fig leaves on, they could have said, God, what do we do now? We did everything you said not to do, and we did nothing of what you said to do. We're guilty. You know what would have happened? Same thing happened to King David. Remember, King David was in the same situation? He killed his best friend. He slept with his wife. He told every lie in the book. He broke all the commandments. And he said this, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done that which is evil in thy sight. Create in me a new heart, O God. Create a right spirit within me. God, you've got to give me a new heart. I just can't keep the law. He was a man after God's own heart, and yet he messed up every commandment. His family was always a chaos and a mess. I don't know if you know that about David's family. Might have been a good king, but he was a horrible dad, a horrible husband. He was horrible. I don't know why Abigail married him. She was smart. She knew that, you know what counts with a man? Is that his heart is after God. And so because he had a heart after God, but his life was a shambles. You cannot follow him. He was not Jesus. That's why Jesus, who was his son, is actually his Lord. Even though he came after, he actually was before. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and so on. So the best has been saved to the last. Now, I haven't even gotten to the scripture. That was just a kind of like a introduction, preamble, just to make sure we're all on the same page. Now, let's look at, and it'll only take me a couple minutes, let's look at Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. Now, we've been looking at this sometimes chapter by chapter, line by line, but today I just want to pick out a couple of things. Thus saith the Lord to his servant. Who could that be? Jesus, you and me? Cyrus. Cyrus? He was a Persian, a beast. He was one of the Old Testament beasts. Here he is, right here, 457 B.C. Cyrus was the guy that conquered Babylon. And here's what he said. Listen to what he said about Cyrus, because did you know that God is actually greater than Nebuchadnezzar? He's greater than Cyrus. He's greater than Caesar. He's greater than Alexander the Great. He's greater than everybody that's up there. He's greater than Constantine. He's greater than all. Now, what God is saying is, I can use anybody at any time for any purpose. There's no man can ever thwart me. Did you know that you cannot gainsay God? Gainsay means you cannot argue with God and win. You cannot question God and prevail. So to gainsay means to try to get on top of God and be what he said not to be or do what he said not to do. You can't win. He always gets his way. God has never lost. He's never lost a thing. I lost not one. Jesus said, I lost not one. What about Judas? No? He said he actually was never with us. Even when I picked him, I knew exactly what his purpose was. He was the one that would then turn me over, deliver me, betray me. How many know Jesus wasn't worried about that? That'd be like worrying about the Antichrist. How many here are not worried about the Antichrist? One, two, three, four. All right. I suppose you would like to rapture out with the rapture group. Get on the elevator. The Antichrist has come. Up, up! Somebody got there ahead of you. You'll have to wait in line. Hope the Antichrist doesn't come. He'll come. Now, that's the main event. Why would you want to miss the main event? The main event is when Israel gets it. I mean, you know, it's kind of fun to watch Israel get it, rather than us. And they're getting it on a daily basis. I don't know if you'd look at the news. And it's going to get worse and worse and worse. It's not going to get better and better and better. Not because of a Barack Obama. It's because that's what God has already told us, that cities will lie waste. That never happened yet. That is Haifa, Tel Aviv. These cities will be destroyed. Who's going to destroy them? It's going to happen in our day. Why? Because this is the time when God's going to restore Israel to her former glory. No, not to her former glory. To God's original purpose for Israel when he called them, spoke through Jacob when he crossed his hands. over those two boys and said, this one will be great, this one will be greater. Now, that is what is controlling all of history today. The blessing of Jacob, which is the blessing of Abraham through Isaac, through Jacob, which also went through Joseph, which went through Judah, which went through Jesus. That blessing can never be altered or changed. How many know you cannot change anything God decides to do? Once he determines a thing, that's it. So, if he wanted to, all men could be destroyed. But he doesn't want to, never has wanted to. Even before he told men what to do, he already decided to put Jesus down. Jesus was, even before the foundation of the world, when your good works were set out for you, Jesus knew he'd be the only one that could do those good works for you. If they were before the foundation of the world, you didn't do them because you weren't even here. But he did them for you. And when he came on the earth, he died for you, was buried for you, he rose for you, he reigns for you. He does it all for you. Why? Because he's a steward. Because he's not a man for himself, he's a man for others. In other words, he asks the Father, Father, you're the benefactor, not me. You're the benefactor, I'm your trustee. Who do you want me to bless? All mankind. All mankind? Yes. Make the offer to all mankind. Force no one. Make the offer, force no one. So it's not a law. Moses had a law. You force. If you eat of this tree, you die. If you don't do what I say, you're cursed. If you do what I say, you're blessed. Those are laws. Jesus has no laws except the law of the Spirit, which has set me free from the law of sin and death. So even if I ate from the wrong tree and sinned, even if I'm a foolish virgin and lukewarm, God still will keep his promise, which is, I wish, I want, I won't force, all men to be saved. How many know that even Pharaoh, he gave him chance after chance after chance. He's trying to show you he has never tried to keep any sinner out. I desire not the death of any sinner. How many know there's a few sinners you'd like to be dead? That there are several sinners that you believe they deserve to die. Is there anyone here who hasn't thought that? No, we all think that. Well, I think so-and-so really shouldn't even breathe. I think they should get what they deserve. Amen. Now, when it comes to me, I want to make a little mercy there, because I can explain my situation. I mean, you can explain your situation. If you can talk, you can get out of it. Let me just say something. How many can explain every sin you've ever committed? You can explain it. Well, the reason I did it was because of this, and I had a good reason. How many of you can justify anything? But unfortunately, not to God. So, God calls you sinners. He says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You say, is that just unbelievers? No, it's also believers. The believers also who don't go on. If you continue in my word, you'll know the truth. You won't know the truth if you don't continue in my word. And the truth will set you free. You won't be free if you don't continue. Just because you're born again over here and you put your light under a basket, that doesn't help anybody. You must continue in my word until you're hot. Completely passionate, just like we are in our marriages. I didn't hear any amens. Just like we are in our marriages. Amen. How many know we may not have been hot at all times? But Jesus is always hot. He's always hot. He's completely in love with his bride. He doesn't want his bride to perish just because she sinned. He said, no, no. Give me the sin. Let me pay the debt. What, if you've overspent, it's okay. I'll get another job. Don't worry about it. How many know that you have a God that loves you so much, is determined to give you the blessing and him to pay all the debt, all the burden? That's a man. That is our Savior, Lord, who has shown us the way. How many know that's hope? We don't have a church like that today, but God will bring about a church like that today here on this earth and in Dallas. So what God is about to do and has already begun, he is going to bring to pass in this year, he's going to bring to pass a spark that will set off a revival in the whole nation and eventually into the whole world. So instead of this being the worst time, oh, let's see, the We better get out our Bibles and our bullets and our beans and stuff, because it could be rough. How many know the next 4 years could be rough? No, the opposite. No. This is the time of the greatest harvest. Just when no man can work when it gets dark. You know what? For us, we're not men. We're men of God. Big difference. Did you know you were a new creation? The old has passed away. You're not men, subject to men. So the Antichrist has nothing on you, as he had nothing on Jesus. Do you understand that? Do you know who you are? If you're a new creation, then you're a new creation. You're just like Jesus. Why? Because you've been born of him. And even though you don't have life in yourself, you have the life that does have life in itself, Jesus, who's in you. Therefore, you can do all things. So isn't this the best day ever? Aren't we about to face the best day ever? And who can think better than someone who's not afraid? That someone who has no doubt. That someone who is completely rejoicing every day of his life. When the toaster goes bad, hallelujah! When the wife throws a pan, yahoo! When you have troubles, when you count it all joy. How many know that that's what you do when things go wrong? You never blame others. You never even blame yourself. Though you're guilty, of course. You just look to Jesus, say, Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your promises. We live standing on the promises. Everything is a promise. Do you know he said he'd never leave you or forsake you? If you believe in that, so it is. If you don't believe in it, then it isn't. He's not going to force you to believe. But if you do believe that the best has been saved to the last, and right now the world is running out of good things. It's running out of hope. Hope and change is running out. Nobody's believing. Nobody is going to receive anything unless God is alive. Unless God rolls up his sleeves, comes down, and begins to, again, revive his people from the dead or from the near dead. You have the name of being alive, and yet, that's a problem with the whole book of Revelation for those seven churches. Now, we're the last church, the Laodicean church. I wish you were hot or cold. It actually starts with cold. I wish you were cold or hot. But because you are lukewarm, I have to spew you out of my mouth. In other words, he is not wanting to deal with the lukewarm who are pretending like they got a foot in both worlds. You must go all the way with Jesus. But I would rather, if you don't go all the way, be against me completely, because there's hope for that one. There is no hope for the lukewarm. Because the lukewarm aren't deceiving God, they're deceiving themselves. The lukewarm are pretending like I'm a good Christian when you know you're not. And all your neighbors know you're not. And the world knows you're not. And even though you don't know it because you lied to yourself, it doesn't help. You're still not. You're not Jesus. You never will be Jesus. You're a creature. You're always dependent, and you will forever and ever and ever and ever be dependent upon Jesus. Therefore, get used to the idea of relationship. Not to this world, but to heaven. Because God in heaven has adopted you, and you are now seated at the right hand of Jesus. Here's you. Here's Jesus. And Jesus is seated at the right hand of heaven. So, Father, this is his seat. To his right is Jesus. To his right is his wife. This is your seat forever. You don't sit in this seat. You don't sit in this seat. This is not you. This is the Father. This is not you. This is your bridegroom, the Son. This is you forever. So, forever you're dependent upon whatever the Father says, the Son says. Whatever the Son says, the wife says. That's why all judgment is given to you. You will judge nations, angels. You will judge Israel. You will judge everything. Why? Because this is the bride that will listen to the bridegroom who listens to the Father. So Jesus, even though he's equal to God, yet he says the Father's greater than I. He's talking now as a trustee. Jesus himself is God. The Father and the Son are equal. The Holy Spirit is equal. But the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead now dwells in you. You have the same power, the same authority, the same majesty. This is your eternal destiny right here, to be exactly like Christ. Christ-likeness. Christ is, I is. As in heaven, so on earth. So whatever the Father wills, whatever his pleasure is, Jesus will do it, and we will do whatever Jesus does. Huh, there it is. So it's as simple as can be. Now, I don't believe this is a theology. I believe it's a life. Yes. This is my life. It's not something I teach. It's not something I talk about. I don't need notes. I don't need anything because I believe it. I believe everything about it. Cyrus, my servant, what's he talking about? He's talking about that nothing will stop Cyrus from taking the kingdom. Cyrus was very clever. He dried up the river Euphrates, which surrounded Babylon. It was a moat around the 60-mile city. 15 miles, 15 miles, 15 miles, 15 miles. That square city, which took months to go through, by the way, that city that had 200-foot walls, whew, that is tall. 200 foot. That's very tall, taller than this building, a great deal taller. It's hard to get a ladder that tall. I mean, no, there aren't too many ladders that tall. I don't think Home Depot even has them. You cannot scale the walls. They were 8 chariots wide. So there's a huge wall, just for a wall, going 60 miles all around. Now, that proud man is about to fall. Babylon is fallen. So the first kingdom, which only lasted 70 years, as was told through Jeremiah the prophet, Daniel noted it very carefully, and he prophesied that very night that the river was dried up while they were all getting drunk and they were cursing the Jews and mocking them. On that very night, God had another plan. How many know that the rulers of this world today are making plans for a new world order? Let them make them. God also has his own plan, and his plan is to bless us. How many know his plan is to take care of us? That you don't need to make preparation. You can sell the beans and the bullets and the Bibles. No, keep the Bibles. Because the Bible is the greatest word ever. There is no word like it. It is the only truth in the world. So everything else that's true has to line up with what's in this word. This is the full truth, left hand and right hand, about God. You see, most people do not believe that Christians could know the truth and know truth they don't know. They would like to judge your truth by their reason. But they cannot, because their reason is too small. Their reason is too incomplete. It's not final. It's not full. It's not certain. Every time they say something, there's an opposite. Not with us. With us, everything we say, believe, and do is related to full knowledge. We know exactly where we came from, exactly where we're going, and exactly why we're here. No one in the world knows that. No religion in the world, no philosophy in the world, no political system in the world knows the truth. You are the light. You are the salt. So therefore, since we have the truth, we should live it in such a way, not to get ourselves into heaven, but to get others into heaven. We're not here for ourselves. We're here for others so that they can see what we know and what we believe and what we do and marvel and give glory to God. How many are excited about what God has in mind? He's about to do great and wondrous things, as he did with Persia. Persia actually fulfilled everything that Israel was not doing. She rebuilt the temple. The Babylonians had destroyed it. Then they rebuilt it. So he used Persia. Remember Esther's husband? He was one of those guys. He was the fourth king. He was the one that actually fought with Greece. And at first they won, and then after that they lost, because most kingdoms only last 150 to 200 years at the most. So these kingdoms, and by the way, America's all about to end. I'm sorry, we didn't make it. The experiment didn't work. Are you all aware of that? Because the experiment was not America. The experiment was, could you make a nation that allowed Christians to be free to live the truth without persecution? That's what America was always about. You get your religion right, you get the nation right. You get the religion wrong, you get the nation wrong. Well, today, because we're only lukewarm, we no longer can sustain a nation. John Adams said that this nation was only built for a religious and moral people. We are no longer a religious and a moral people. Well, I know here in Texas we are, but we have to secede to get it. And we're not going to. So what God is about to do is not worry about all that. Just do what he told you to do. Just you become excited. You fall in love. You read your word. You know, you cannot get anything on Sunday morning if you don't read your word on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And I know a lot of people don't do that. Some do. But I would just say, if you're hot, you have to read it every day. I was up today at 3. I get 4, 5, 6 hours. I feel good if I get that much. It isn't because I can't go to sleep. It's because I don't want to. I want to study, pray, repent, get before God, laugh, rejoice. And you know, there's nobody up at 3 or 4. That's so amazing. And it's still dark out. And even the cat doesn't want food. It's amazing. So you can live a holy life. At any rate, Persia then, well, he called him my servant. Why? Because everybody's God's servant, even if they don't want to serve. He doesn't force them. He just uses them. How do you know he's smarter than they are? He knows how to use their motives to accomplish his purpose. So God is never hindered in anything that he does. And he's about to use Dallas as a tinderbox, as a spark that will renew the nation. It's only here. You can't get it in Utah. You're not going to get it in Massachusetts. You're not going to get it in Illinois. You can't get it just anywhere. But God has prepared us over the years. Instead of, you know, like in the 1930s, you remember when the crash came. People jumped out of buildings in New York. But in Texas, 1973, when big problems, people just, you know, went back to church. All those big, you know, Cullen Davis and all those people that made a ton of money, suddenly, you know, they got divorces and all this junk. Because, you know, it's time to go back to church. And by the way, Cullen Davis, who's a friend of mine, Cullen got saved by James Robinson, and then he got filled with the Spirit through us, through our church. We actually called him up, told him that he needed to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. He came over at once, got it. And that changed his life. I don't know what he was before. I have no idea, don't care. But he was apparently very sleazy. But however he was, whether he was smart or what he was, God did a work in him to change his life. He still lives here now. He used to live on Mockingbird, and over there he lived in a big old house. And I've been to it. Used to go when James Robinson taught Bible studies there, and so on. I tell you, the best is yet to come. God has prepared the ground here for a revival of his church, and all we need to do is separate out those that are just denominational, hard wineskins. They're hardened. If you put new wine in them, they'll burst. In other words, the lukewarm just can't handle the hot of the Holy Spirit, the life, the spiritual growth. So you can't expect these to get it. Don't even ask them to. Just simply you get it. Stand off. Be ye separate. Come out from the midst of her, my people. So the her is not just the harlot. The her is anything that isn't perfect. Just come out from that. In other words, reform yourself. How many know that's going to mess up a lot of churches? Every church, Episcopal, Baptist, etc., 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 has been divided already. They're already being divided. The Episcopalians are one of the most recent ones. And in Dallas and in Fort Worth, they're breaking off. Episcopal from Episcopal, Baptist from Baptist. Those that are truly wanting to go all the way and those that only want to go part of the way. Now, don't measure them all. I'm not even interested in which one is better than the other one. I'm only saying there is a drive to go all the way, even if you don't know what it means, to go all the way with Jesus. It's powerful. And that is what's going to change this world. The headline is not Obama's reelected. The headline is the church falls in love with the bridegroom. Because he's about to come back. And he's about to take his church. So he has a lot to do. You don't have a lot to do. He has a lot to do. There's nothing you can do. You cannot make it happen. You cannot cause it to happen. I don't care what scriptures you're reading. I'm sorry. It's actually him who doeth it all.
Amen.
Now, I know you don't believe me quite. I know you want to still think there's something you can do. Sorry. You can't. So you just have to trust me for a minute and then go home and read your Bible. Go home and ask God, God, what part do I play? I want to be without sin. Not going to work. I mean, it's not going to work. The more you try not to sin, the more you'll sin. Because when you try not to sin, you've taken your eyes off of Jesus, and now you're looking at yourself not sinning, and therefore it's a sin. If you became humble, you'd be proud that you were humble, so you're not going to make it. If you're impatient with being impatient, you're not going to make it. You cannot do even the smallest thing. Nothing. And besides, he's done it all. Besides, he's perfect. How can you add to perfect or subtract from perfect? Perfect is perfect. So, everything is in place for the Lord to return. So, it's too exciting. And you have to get excited, passionate. I think why Romney lost the election, this is my opinion, doesn't count for anything. Jesus didn't say this. I'm saying it. He didn't have any fire in his belly. I felt like he didn't passionately. I felt like deep down he probably did, but he didn't get that out. He didn't inspire anyone. You certainly weren't going to go and tell your neighbors. But because he didn't, Obama was just smarter, had the better ground game and all that kind of nonsense. But the truth is, God allowed all of that to happen to wake up his church and say, you know, all those things you were hoping would happen didn't. Because why do you look to the world to give you hope? Why don't you look just to me? Why doesn't a nation turn to its God? Why doesn't a nation thank me, praise me, worship me, love me, adore me, night and day? Those are not works, by the way. Those are the works of God when you know he's done all the work that needs to be done. You can't thank him as a work. You're thanking him because he did all the work and you have the blessing. So thanks is just part of your blessing. Amen. He caused that. He did that. To God be the glory. Hope I blessed somebody today.
Amen.
I hope you understood the 45th chapter. I didn't read the words. It's okay. You're supposed to read yourself all these words. You have the Bible. Some of you have two or three Bibles. And so you should read them. Well, God is good.